From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to start a new series of messages on Sunday morning on the subject of victorious living. Pastor, of course, it is my desire to see every member of this church living a victorious Christian life. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. You don't have to look for that. Stay there in Daniel chapter 3. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Then go to Daniel chapter 3, a very familiar text, and one I was reading this week, and I thought, because Daniel 3 is such a familiar text, I'm going to go to a different one. But there's no better text in all the Bible when it comes to learning to stand than this text right here. Let's start at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers. Everyone that's important in the kingdom was called together to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at the time that when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live thou forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake to them and said, "Is it true?" So we speak on the subject of victory in victorious living. One of the first principles that we have to learn is learning how to stand. And it sounds so easy, so simple, so basic, but as we see in this story, very few Christians actually do it. The pressure's on, when the test comes, when the time reveals our faith, our character, our principles. There were hundreds, probably thousands, not just of Hebrews, but of people of strong faith, Christians, who bowed at that moment, who said, "I will stand in my heart, but bow in my person," just to avoid the consequence, because it's very clear what would happen to those that did not bow. He said you'd be cast into this fiery furnace. And demanding conformity is not new to any pagan society, heathen culture, godless nation. Man and Christians have always been pushed to conform. And these three young men, now what's more amazing, in their youth they'd made a determination, "We will not bow." And we know they were set up by their enemies for destruction. And here's what you better understand. As this nation becomes more and more godless, you as a Christian will be set up by your enemies for destruction. Whether that's in your place of work, your Christianity will be tested, and this world hates those that do not conform to their philosophies and their standards. And the question is, why are you so anti-Babylon? It's not a matter of being anti-Babylon, it's a matter of being biblical and allowing God's word to set the mandate. And what's amazing throughout history, we have admired those that have taken a stand. You can drive 60 miles down the road here to the Alamo and find a monument in March of 1836. Most of you have been there. And you know the story, 186 men that stood up against an army of 1,500. And we celebrate that kind of stand. And although they were defeated, here's what we know, that victory is not winning when speaking of the Christian life. Victory is standing. Just being willing to take a stand, and whether in the history of the United States that was a Revolutionary War and 13 colonies standing against the tyranny of the Great Britain and its empire, or whether that was America in World War II standing against Hitler. We celebrate that, but in Christianity, for some reason, we excuse the cowardice that is backing down, backing away, becoming invisible. And Christianity is more invisible today than it's ever been in the United States of America. And it is time for us as Christians to make our Christianity visible. Amen. Learning to be victorious and taking a stand. Go with me, keep your finger here, and go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith. The Christian Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame, records those that were willing to take a stand. And here's what it says in Hebrews 11:32. Speaking of them, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And listen, they did not all win. Matter of fact, humanly speaking, we'd have to say they in the end lost. Even the most famous fighter in this age, the age of grace, the Apostle Paul, said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You got to understand, he was in the Mamertine prison. If you ever get a chance to go to Rome, get away from the tour guides and wander over there and take a look at that little dark, damp hole in the ground where Paul spent so many of the last days of his life. And there he sits, cold, broken down, a beaten man in body but not in spirit. And he goes out on top, although we know he will be beheaded. It is victory because he stood. And these two were standing. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, we'd like to think in our lifetime we wouldn't suffer any serious persecution for the cause of Christ, but we know these days and times are quickly changing. I would like to promise those of you who are young Christians that you'll never face threats of persecution or jail for your faith, but no one can be promised that with the direction of our nation. But even not knowing the consequences of the future, it is time for us as Christians to stand. Stand up, ye soldiers of the cross. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Now, humanly speaking, you'd say they were not victorious, but God puts them down, eternally records their life based on the victorious Christian living which was those men in their day being willing to stand for their faith. And that is victory. Let me say, number one, standing is an act of visible opposition to evil. Now, let me break the myth in the Christian's mind that says, as long as I hold to a belief in my heart, I am standing. That's simply not the truth. A stand for God, opposition to evil, is something that is visible. And when they were very clearly, you see in this chapter, it repeated. They brought in all the important people of the kingdom. So it'd be made clearly known, and so fear would pierce the hearts of anybody who believed otherwise. When you see everyone, including, it's not just the police department, not just the FBI, not just the CIA, but the governors and the senators and the congressmen, everyone holding, even the dog catchers, anyone holding any kind of public office was present, so you would know this is a mandate. This is the ruling king of the world's largest empire, and he says, you will bow. And so you know what everyone did? They bowed. I'm going to do the smart thing and just bow. You know what society is telling us to do? Just bow. So Christians have said, I will maintain my biblical convictions and preferences. I'm just going to become invisible. Standing eliminates invisibility. Because when everyone else went down to their face, these three could have made a choice. Let's go halfway down, and as we bow, pray to God. You know what standing does? Can you imagine? While thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands were all prostrate, three men stood out. Stood out. Really stood out. Can you imagine? Now, we talk about peer pressure. This is the definition of peer pressure. When you have hundreds of thousands and everyone's getting as low as they can just to make sure there's no question in the minds of any official present that they are bowing. They know what fire means in a furnace, and they know that is absolute 100% sure death. And they got low, and these three said, we cannot do that. And Christians, it is time for us. Listen, everyone out there, we're talking about in opposition to the truth. Praise God, we have the truth. But they have made their beliefs, no matter how bizarre they are, they have made them known, and they have stood for godlessness. And as Christians that know the one true God and have a book that would lead us to righteous, honorable behavior, we have been silenced. And here's what's wrong with the Christian crowd. Just like in the book of Acts, the early churches, they begin to grow, and the government said, no, we will silence you. This has been Satan's plan throughout the ages. Chapter 4 of the book of Acts says that they threatened them to speak no more in his name. Satan says you can be a Christian, just be a silent one. We are unseen, we are unheard, we are unnoticed, we are invisible. And here's what God wants you to do. You need to make your Christianity visible no matter where you go. I've recently been going to Starbucks and trying to pass out tracts have been rebuked. And they have said, we have a new policy that doesn't allow us to receive literature across the counter. So I turn on my Bible app, or sinking when I pull up to the window. This morning I was with my daughter. I said, let's find something quick. We got to find something with gospel in it. We turn it up real loud. Then we pulled up to the window. I'm going to get you some gospel. I want you to know that I am a child of God. I'm not going to hide my Christianity. Last week I was in a restaurant and I had my, now here's what I've decided. As this world gets louder and louder, I've decided to become more and more visible. Now I have a big Bible, and here's one of the things that will help you take a stand, carry it everywhere. So I walked into the restaurant and I sat down and I opened it up. Now it's much larger than this, but I opened it up and a guy walked in and said, I see you have the good book with you. I said, it certainly is a good book. I said, would you like to hear about it? He said, no, I would not like to hear about it. Okay. You know what? It's an immediate identification, you with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've gone to pocket Bibles and little New Testaments that are easy to hide so we can stay invisible. I'll read it in my workplace, but I'm not going to read it in the break room. I want to make sure I go outside, sit in my car, turn on the AC, and stay invisible. Christians, let me encourage you in this day and age. I thank God for the few, and it's always very few, because few are living the victorious Christian life. There's nothing like living a cowardly Christian life, fearful to show others your faith. You know what you ought to do if you have a Facebook account? Identify yourself as a firm follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just post verses. Re-preach Sunday morning's message. Let them know I love God with all my heart. If you're not born again, I would like to set up an appointment with you to give you the gospel and let you know how you too can be born again. Preacher, that would raise a ruckus. Now, it's much better investment of your time than talking about what you ate for breakfast, what you're doing for lunch. Standing up means standing out. And here's the problem. This world wants to set the standard, and they're very uncomfortable with us making God's word the standard. Matter of fact, this concept is so foreign to them. If you tell them, I follow this book, it literally blows their mind. You believe that book. Yes, I live according to that book. You would live. There are no standards of right and wrong. The world, the government, society, culture wants to set those standards. And when you say, I'm sorry, the Supreme Court can't set the standard because the standard's already been set. There's a supreme being that supersedes the Supreme Court. And he's already established rules for living, and I have to submit my... And here's what they said. Exodus 20 has taught us something. God said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So we can't do that. It would be in direct disobedience to the very clearly written word of God. So we are forced to, we don't want to stand, but we're forced to stand based on principle. How many of you ever not wanting to stand, decided to stand because you saw a principle there? I don't want to do this, Nebuchadnezzar. It's not that I like fire. You know, I'm not real big on 450 degrees, but because of a higher mandate called God's word, I must stand. Now, Christians, let me get really basic this morning. It may make a few of you awkward. It should not, but it possibly could. We say we stand against abortion. Now, this morning, we won't go into details, but to murder the innocent and tear them apart limb by limb, to stick something in the neck of an innocent baby, to pull them out of a womb while the heart is still beating and dismember them, to sell their body parts as if that institution was a Walmart dealing with jelly beans and a loaf of bread, is more than disgusting and immoral. It is illegal. And it doesn't matter that it is funded by our tax-paid money, by the U.S. government. It is still illegal and immoral. Now, it's not enough just to say, I believe institutions like Planned Parenthood are heinously committing crimes, not just against God, but against obviously very clear and written law in the United States. Whether or not our government overlooks it, it is the law. It is illegal to sell body parts, and it's being done. Now, here's what we do. Well, I stand against that. A stand is not a stand until it becomes visible. So how have you stood against that? There's a Planned Parenthood not a few blocks away from here. You can make your stand visible by very peaceably, cordially, properly, biblically driving down where there's some grass, public property, kneeling down in prayer. Number one, confessing the sin of this nation that is murder. God, as Nehemiah did in Nehemiah chapter 1, God, forgive us for the filth and rot that is in this nation, for the murdering of innocents that we have done over 60 million times. God, I pray you'd wake us up as a nation and not allow this to continue. Brother Duffett, who will be here in several months to preach our missions conference, an amazing church, much like this church, Capital City, but a church that gives over $1 million a year to missions. I was talking to Dave by text in December or January, and he sent me a picture of a thermostat. And he said, it is set on there, minus 48 that morning. I said, what in the world do you do? Do you get out of your house? How do you function with it minus 48 degrees? And he sent a picture of himself and a group from his church in parkas. Now, you couldn't see their face because the hoods were drawn so tightly around their face, you could just see a little bit of darkness, and you could see them breathing because it was like ice coming out of their noses and mouths as they breathe and falling to the ground with every breath. The moisture in the air freezes at that temperature. It's very dangerous, but they were standing in front of a Planned Parenthood with signs that says, God loves every soul, even the souls of the unborn. At 48 below. Now, if they can do it at 48 below, I would think we could take 5 minutes out of our time to be visible enough to say, I'm against an organization that is known to sell the hearts, limbs, liver, brags about an intact body, an uncrushed head. Folks, if you are not bothered by that, you don't have a conscience. Those of you that love life, you have been silenced by society. And if we're afraid to stand against the most despicable crimes, those are crimes. We live in a society that glorifies wickedness. I thank God for Kim Davis. One clerk in a nation of 50 states that says, I refuse to sign my name. I refuse because I am saying I am in agreement with this. I will help certify, ratify, verify same-sex marriage. One, how many Christians are in those positions? You know what God says against that kind of lifestyle. How many have said, I in my heart believe to the contrary, but for safety reasons and not to sacrifice my job, I will be silenced and sign this paper. And as Christians, it is time that we stand up and become visible. If you love this book, take a visible stand. Just take it with you somewhere in public. We're so fearful, that crowd, you know, that holds up the Bible, the chest, and it talks in a different tone. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, my brother. Hallelujah. God's good. I'm not saying you have to be one of that crowd. You don't need to change your tone of voice every time you hold your Bible to your chest. But you ought to have enough backbone and courage to say, I want my Christianity. And listen, Christianity is not made visible by putting a fish on the back bumper of your car. Christianity is not made visible because you hold a sign that says John 3:16 at a ballpark. I'm not against those things. I'm just saying there are more obvious ways and better ways to take a stand as a Christian. And taking a stand, victorious Christian living. Now, let me ask you this morning, how many truly are living the victorious Christian life? That means you've learned to take a stand. And I'm concerned because we have a Bible college. We have a Christian school. And if our kids in a Christian school can't stand in that environment, if they cannot stand up for God in the very little opposition that they face in that environment, how are they going to stand in a wicked world that is doing everything they can to make anything Christian illegal? There should be more amens this morning than anything I've preached in a long time. Number two, standing is an expression of confidence in truth. Now, when you're confident that you have the truth, you're willing to stand up. Boy, there are people standing for everything. You've seen them stand at football games. 287 pounds, no shirt, half blue, half gray, yelling the name of their team as if that were the truth. That's called boldness. When you got a body like that, that's called boldness. And their team is going to finish 7-5 out of the national title race. And they're only embarrassing themselves, but they're still willing to stand. People are willing to stand. We have 16 or 18, depending on the moment, or 19 candidates for the Republican Party. And everyone's picking a candidate. And you're willing to stand for someone that has 2% of the support of the population and doesn't even agree with you on all the issues. Now, I'm not against you standing for that candidate. I'm just trying to say we have a Bible that is perfect, a God that has an eternal track record without a single failure. You would think it would be quite easy. A book without any contradictions attacked every century, and yet it has withstood the test of time. It should be easy to stand on those truths. And here's what these three young men said. We have the truth. Nebuchadnezzar is not the truth. He's the power of the day. He can cast us into the fire. But the truth is that image should not be worshipped. God alone, the creator of the universe, alone should be worshipped. You know what society is still saying? Bow down, conform, and worship us. If you don't believe it, just walk into the mall and dress like a Christian. You'll feel really uncomfortable because everyone there will be staring at you. What's wrong with you? Why have you not conformed? Have you lost your mind? People will stop and take pictures. Are you an actor from the 50s? They expect you to conform, and any stand that you take is awkward, but you have to understand this is confidence that I have the truth. As long as I have this book, I have truth. Now, if you have the Book of Mormon or the Quran or any other holy book, you know you might have wobbly legs. But when you have God's word to stand upon, that's totally different. We have the truth. Chapter 17 of John, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Others are standing on a lie. We are not. Now, humanly speaking, it didn't really make a lot of sense for them to stand on truth because they'd been carried away captive. They were living in a strange land. And matter of fact, they'd been put in a high position of authority. They're living there in the palace, and they're going to have to probably sacrifice all those things if they stand upon truth. And they probably thought, oh my, God has forsaken us at this point. What is the reward? Be careful when you equate reward with standing for truth. Humanly speaking, there may be no reward. You know what Kim Davis's reward is going to be for standing on truth? the loss of her job and possibly the inability to find work after she loses her job. But we can never base the reward or the consequence upon our need to stand. And they said, now here's what the king said, verse 14. He thought maybe there was a little bit of confusion in their mind. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Verse 15. "Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp." So he re-explains. He says, listen, there's a fiery furnace there, and it's really, really hot. Hey, someone throw that cat in the fire for a minute. Just demonstration. You know, before it makes it into the flame, dissipates. The crowd cheers. The cat lovers panic. And he said, just to make things clear, if you don't bow and we'll play the drums again and we'll sing the song again. I like my band and I'll have them do. Round two, are you ready? Prepare yourself. And he was interrupted. And Meshach said, hold on for a minute, king. It wasn't that we're deaf, we missed the music. It wasn't that we didn't understand the command. We did. But we have moral principle that we stand upon. We have God's word to guide us. We have a higher mandate than your mandate. A higher mandate? Yes. And God says, don't bow to any graven image. We simply cannot do it. You're willing to die over that? We believe that our God can deliver us. But if he does not deliver us, that's okay too. Because the worst thing you can do is send us to heaven. So if you're ready for that, make it happen. We're one of two good things is going to happen. We're going to be walking around in this fire with the Son of God, or we're going to be walking around on golden streets with the Son of God. So either way, we got the Son of God getting involved in this. And in his fury, he said, cast them into the fire. Now, they could say that and they could boldly stand because they were standing upon truth. Aren't you glad that you have the truth? How many of you have seen what's taken place in the past 10 years? You said, thank God I have the truth. You've seen people turn from the truth and you've stood there in the confidence and the consolation that we have is that this book is truth. If I didn't have this book, now I feel for all these talk show hosts and all of them that are talking about the evil that is around us and America going off the edge of the cliff because most of them don't understand God's word or have Jesus as their Savior or heaven as their future home. They know nothing about Revelation and biblical prophecy. Well, I'd be losing my mind if I sat in that chair and didn't know that God was in control. But here's the bottom line when it comes to truth. God alone is to be worshipped, and God alone is on the throne. And let me take a two-minute pause here in the message and explain something to you, because we have this weird disconnect in Christians today that as soon as something goes wrong, think that God has slipped off his throne. God was on his throne when this church got started. God was on his throne when it ran 550. God was on his throne when 23 got saved and 18 of those got baptized. God was on his throne when Dad was pastoring. And God, too, was on his throne when Hank Thompson got sick. His kidneys failed. And for 2 years, he was out of the pulpit and slowly died. God was still on the throne. God was on the throne, and these Hebrew children understood. God was on the throne when the nation of Israel went to the promised land and the walls of Jericho. They walked around on that seventh day. They watched the walls come down of their great mighty city. God was on the throne, but they also understood when they went into captivity because of their rebellion, God was still on the throne. Here's what happened. Well, I'm without money. God must have slipped off his throne. God's never slipped off his throne. God was on the throne during your best day, and God was on the throne during your worst day. God was on the throne when you were sick, and God was on the throne when you were well, and you had absolutely no earthly problem at that exact moment. Suddenly we think, well, God's at the peak of his throne. No, God's always been on the throne. that didn't change, your situation does not change God's standing. God is still on the throne. You know why they walked up there with confidence? They said, God's on the throne. And this looks bad. And the king said, he's going to throw us into the furnace. And when they were bound, they said, God is still on the throne. When they felt the heat of that fire, they said, God is still on the throne. And when they walked out untouched, unsinged by the fire, they didn't say, well, good to see God's back on his throne. No, God was always on his throne. Christians, you'd better get rid of this concept that God, during the day, maybe during this month, or during certain times of your life, has vacated his throne. God has never vacated his throne. When Hitler rose to power, God was still on the throne. And when Hitler died, God was still on the throne. And when the Jews were in their land doing well, God was on the throne. And when Hitler was killing 6 million of them, God was still on the throne. It's hard for us to understand. But when you understand, you have the truth. And the truth is, God is sovereign. He's in absolute control over the affairs of men. You can stand with confidence. Victorious Christian living is based on that fact. Number three, standing is a demonstration of courage among cowardice. Now, Christians, here's what you want to do. I try to stress this in our Bible college, although small. I'm glad you got a good grade on your test. I'm glad for the report. Not as a teacher, I'm glad for hard work. But in life, in Bible college, in a church, you better find a good friend with backbone that knows how to stand. Because there's a lot that know how to bow. And you know what happened? Here came the decree, and hundreds, probably thousands of Christians that were surrounded by cowardice, they talked to each other and said, now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to end our witness, our testimony, give up our jobs just for a moment. It's only for a moment. It's one song. It's one verse. It's all of 30 seconds. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bow down quickly. Here's what I'm going to do just so God knows what's going on in my heart. When that music plays, I'm going to drop a nickel on the ground, and then I'm going to, God, you know I'm not bowing. I'm bending down. I got a bad back. It's going to take a while. It may take me 30 seconds to get this nickel, but I'm not prostrate, and I'm not. Now, that's going to be a tactic. It'll work for you. It'll work for me. God will understand. It'll save our lives, extend our witness, increase our influence, and not end in the fiery furnace. So, you know what this world will do? You know what Christians will do? They'll give you an excuse to hide your Christianity and keep you from standing. And here's what you better do. If you're going to live the victorious Christian life, you've got to learn to stand. And it's hard to stand alone. So these three boys found each other and said, I don't think you had Meshach standing 550 feet away. I think you had three side by side saying, if I get weak-kneed, you hold me up. If I get a doubt and begin to think about the fire, if I become fearful and question my decision, would you make sure I stand? Here's what I've done in the ministry and watching churches go off track and good independent fundamental Baptist churches take a different direction and go the way of grace and stop preaching anything that's Bible, abandon their standards, change the King James Bible for some new version. And I've seen this happen. Here's what I've done. I've surrounded myself with men that know how to stand in case I get weak, in case I get wobbly, in case I reconsider. I want someone there to prop me up and say, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay strong. Stand. You had better surround yourself. You better listen. Don't put another weak Christian next to you. You need to find a strong Christian at a weak moment that'll say, let's stand together. Don't think for a minute that any one of those three could have stood alone under that kind of pressure. They said, man, you can stay right here. Did you bring that 2x4? Just stick it right there. So if I try to bow, I'm just going to flop over on my face, face plant, knock my front teeth out. I don't want there to be any chance that I bend. I don't want to be any moment that I bow to the pressure and cave to this command. I want to do that which is right. Amen. You better look at the consequences, young people. Well, I don't see any benefit. The consequences, standing is a personal decision made regardless of the consequences. And they all made a personal decision and said, yes, we will lose our position in the palace. We will lose, now hold on for a second, we may even lose our testimony among other Christians. What? That doesn't sound right. It is right because, you know what, if you stand, no matter what the condition, other Christians will criticize you. You are really an extremist. You mean to tell me God wants you to burn? Just lean. Don't bow. Lean. Don't agree. Fake it. There are consequences, especially in this generation. There are consequences. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and we'll be done. Here's what Bob Moore had said. Little explanation. 2 Timothy and Paul's admonition there to Timothy. He said, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with the low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, labor by power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, but my God is reliable, so my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, nor negotiate at the table of the enemy, not ponder the pull of popularity or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. My colors will be clear. I am not ashamed of my Savior. Amen. That's a stand. Look what it says in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, understand this. Here's what will help you stand. We're not standing against a society. We're standing against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is satanic opposition. So what's the command? Take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now look at the armor. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith, that's all armor that goes on the front and on the top. There's nothing for the deserter that'll cover his back. God has no intention of you running or retreating, turning around, giving up, or going back. Christians, 2015, September 2015. Now more than ever in the history of this nation, it is time for Christians to make a determination, I will stand. You cannot live in victory as a Christian if you're crawling around in cowardice, trying to avoid the labels that society has put out there. And as soon as you take a stand, you'll be called a bigot, an extremist, a hater. Nowadays, you don't have to be called a Christian to be named those things. If you stand anywhere close to this book, you're going to be labeled, lied about, titled. But that's okay. I'll still be kind. I'll still be loving. I'll still lift up the cross, hold to that book, and say, I've got the truth. Amen. It's not just a good book. Sorry, sir, it's not just a good book. It's the book. The book of books. And on this book I stand.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.